Hey, y'all, welcome to Geek Freaks. I am Frank, and I'm here with Squeaks.
Squeaks.
We have a lot to talk about today. We're going to be focusing on Helldivers 2, and we're going to be focusing on Doom 2. But first, let's kick things off with, what are your top three 90s Nicktoons? I'll go through a couple people who gave our responses, and then I'll go to you. So we have Javornsky. That's cool. It says Doug, Rugrats, and Ren and Stimpy. We've got Diane Bromage says Ren and Stimpy, Doug, Rocko's Modern Life. Mr. CA says SpongeBob, Ren and Stimpy, Rugrats. What are your three?
All right, so first one is SpongeBob. I remember being in elementary school and I was really digging it. And then even till this day, I still watch the new stuff with my girls, of course. Yeah, but
of course.
So SpongeBob, I'd have to go. I'll go Cat Dog for sure and Rugrats. Yeah.
SpongeBob came out in 99, and I did get a lot of guff of people being like, well, that shouldn't count. I'm like, it's just 99. Like, come
pretty
on.
Pretty sure it's the 1900s.
Yeah. Plus, I was an early adopter, so I watched it in 99, and I want to double down on that. Definitely going SpongeBob on that one. I'm going to go Hey Arnold, I think is good. It's tough. Like, Hey Arnold or Doug.
That is good. Yeah.
They're both those coming of age ones, you know?
Yeah.
And then Cat Dog is a lot of fun. I'm going to go Cat Dog.
Yeah.
It seems like Rocko, which is also really good on this, probably my number four. Rocko, Rugrats, and Ren and Stimpy seem to be the ones running the board, though. People really like those three.
Yeah, Rocko was amazing.
All right, before we get into anything, let's go ahead and talk about the rest of the network. We have Outlast Podcast. They're back. We have new episodes going on there. Challenge Accepted just did a big deep dive on Dune 1 and 2. And next up for that one is going to be Men in Tights in honor of Richard Lewis, who just recently passed away. We have a Who's Got Next Game podcast. They're doing the brackets right now on PS1 games. Please go over there and voice your opinion because currently I disagree with some of their choices and I'm not happy about it.
If the boss isn't happy, you know, then
because
shit's going down.
Yeah, like Tony. Oh, no, what was it? Crash Bandicoot lost to some PGA game. And I'm like, what the? There's no way.
Is somebody on that podcast saying that? Like,
PGA? Yeah, because they're doing a bracket system right now because they're leaning in on multiplayer and they're saying Crash is in a multiplayer game. I'm like, I don't know. Tyler tried
Crash
to defend
Bash.
It.
Crash Bash, Crash Team Racing, you know?
The karting games are great. Yeah. All right, let's go ahead and get into the news. We have some quick ones here. Rings of Power coming in late 2024. That's now been confirmed, season 2. Are you watching that? Are you a fan of Rings of Power?
It really caught my attention towards the end. I thought that's when it was picking up. It was getting really good action. Okay. I was bored at first, but they did a good job at flipping me. I don't know the races, but the Hobbit female, little girl. Yeah. She actually, out of nowhere, at the very end of that season, really, like, grasped my attention, and that's the one I want to follow now. I'll give it a chance again. So not, like, super excited, but we'll be looking forward to it.
It didn't quite grab my attention as well as I had expected. I think what it was, I just had super high hopes for it. So I think going back into it, and knowing it's not just Lord of the Rings again or something like that, and it's its own thing. Yeah, that's just fine. That's how Avatar was too. And then I think I'll give it another shot. So yeah, Rings of Power coming later this year.
Okay.
We got a first look at Superman's logo. Did you have a chance to check that out?
No, we got a logo?
Oh yeah. This is Superman from James Gunn.
Talk to me, baby.
So the story, the character is being motivated by Superman All-Star, which you and I were just talking about.
Yep.
But the logo on his chest is from Kingdom Come Superman.
Okay.
Yeah, it's a little more angular, but I like the texture on it. It's not like, something about the Zack Snyder ones felt like it's a little too futuristic. This one feels like all American, in my opinion. What do you think?
Yeah, it's got that blocky like middle where it's like straight square across in that middle of that S. So that's pretty nice. Looks like it does touch from corner to corner. So I don't know. You think it's a huge improvement to Zack Snyder's or?
I think that one looks like it was made by his mom and the other one looked like it was made by an alien spaceship. You know, I think that's the kind of the difference.
Okay.
Like, I think Martha with the sewing machine and some, like, materials off the ship, she made that type of thing. Like, the blanket he was arrived in. One Punch Man Season 3 is coming back soon. They just announced it. Are you a One Punch Man?
I am the One Punch Man. Can't you tell? Facial feature. So I love One Punch Man. I'm so excited. This show is build up hype so far, and then Saitama just... like, okay, I'll show up. And then just like ruins, like, why did I even watch this show? But it's so funny. It's the first anime that really gets me laughing. So I'm super excited that we actually got some traction on this again.
So it's got the JC staff is the one that released it. They're the new animation studio. people, I think they're the ones that did season 2 as well, if I'm not mistaken. Mm-hmm. I don't care for when animes change anime, like, or when animes change studios. Attack on Titan did it. It just doesn't feel right. I don't know. Are you bugged by that?
I don't think so. I did get that vibe of Attack on Titan. I think more because I get excited when I see like it's an advancement, you know? I look at it like, oh, that's, okay. You know, you trading your old car for a new one type thing. Like, it's shiny now. But it is kind of going away because you get that images sometimes where it looks like almost like it's not really like art anymore. That it's, I don't know the best way to do it. Like a CGI. Let's just pretend like a CGI in an art background. You know, that's kind of what it looks like. But, you know, I don't hate it. I don't hate it, but I don't want to lose traction on all these, right? Like how anime was.
For Attack on Titan, for the original ones, they like were bright colors and very vibrant. And they were just like, oh, look how cool this gigantic Titan is. Mm-hmm. And then on the next ones, it was like really muted, which kind of fit the story. Sure, because it's a lot more about like family struggle, but like struggles of humanity, and less about like just slashing down giant titans. It wasn't about that really much anymore. Yeah, so I get that it kind of fit with the story, but I don't know. Something about the original animation, I think, was just quite a bit a lot better than that one. And then this one, I know people have complained about JC not being quite up to the snuff of the original animator. So
really,
let's get into some real news here, guys. We have a new Pokemon app. Now, you in your hand right now have some cards, correct? There we go. Look at that. Oh my God, they're all spread out there like that. They just announced this app. It's called Pokemon Trading Card Game Pocket. A lot of it is opening booster packs. You get one free booster pack a day. And of course, I'm sure you're going to be able to like buy more booster packs, right?
Oh, yeah.
And you're able to fight against your friends, but they're not really talking about the fighting against your friends much. We see a little bit of it in the trailer, but it's not a big deal. I'm assuming you're playing this, right?
Which is like, I am playing some Pokemon online.
Yeah.
QR scan codes, right? For my so many of them to play on the computer. But I thought this was just an attachment to what was already online, Pokemon Live or Pokemon something, whatever it is now. I don't know. I don't know. What's the deal? Like, is it really bringing, what is it bringing new? And that's what I don't know yet.
I think it's going to bring accessibility to the Pokemon card game and knowledge.
And that's why I thought it was an attachment to what was online already. Yeah. But from this title and stuff, it seems like it's something new.
Problem is, if you tie it to something online already with the people who are collectors, like maybe yourself, if somebody's new coming along, they're going to be so far behind. And so if you come up with a new app that's a whole new thing, then everybody has a chance to start again. You know what I'm saying? Like it's trying to attach Pokemon Go to like something you get on the Switch. Well, the people on the Switch are going to be way the hell ahead of you. It's not going to be. Yeah.
But, you know, I mean, it's like you just need to find that one friend in World of Warcraft that runs you through the dungeons, you know? Wink, wink.
Wink, wink. So, that is fair.
Oh, well, catch up.
Yeah. I'm gonna have you run me through some Pokemon Pocket, I guess. Yeah. They say it looks like you're going to be opening up packs every day. I assume you're going to buy more packs. What would you spend for a digital Pokemon pack?
Okay. Am I promising any guarantees of like one card at least? Or
I would
one
say,
rarity?
Yeah, it's probably going to be the same. Yeah, one rarity as expected.
I would say like the max. The max would be like $2.99.
I'm thinking $2. Yeah, that seems like just the right amount to like trick you into it while still being too expensive.
Yeah, yeah. Well, a normal pack is $5. So, and that's something physical I can at least have and hold and keep. Who knows what, or you know how long? Mm-hmm. I know with the digital, as long as you have your account, you can keep it forever, can't lose it. That's fine, but it's not tangible to me. It's not in my hand. It's not like I can feel it. It's not like I can see that holo. You know, you got to tell me I open up this to like. I don't know, this, what's the, like, hottest Charizard card, let's just say, right now? You think, if I get that digital, but I don't have a real life, you think I'm going to care about it more? No. So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But how cool would it be if you could, every time you buy a physical booster pack, it has a QR code inside, you scan that, adds all these cards to your thing, and then, like, some cards are only obtainable that way, like, say, the Charizard, or something like that, that would be
okay. Cool. Yeah, because they do that already, but you're saying, like, if they add, like, something to that QR code to make you have a chance to get only a digital exclusive like card,
something like that or some of the cards aren't available digitally, so you could only get it if you bought the physical version of it or something like that.
That'd be kind of neat. Yeah, I would like that. Yeah, that'd be a cool little game to play.
And then the battling online, when I played Pokemon back in the day, I was in high school, shows how old I am. Mm-hmm. I mean, I have a recent deck because remember during the pandemic I bought a recent deck just for a whim, and it sits anyways.
I'll bring
it's sitting next to my Lorcana deck, by the way. The other thing I'm not playing.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I'll come over soon.
So. There we go. But yeah, like I think for most part, a lot of people didn't know how to play. They just clicked at them. They had those sleeves in their binders or whatever.
Yeah.
So I think for a lot of people, this might be the first time they're actually playing Pokemon.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, most definitely, because it has something to actually teach you now instead of you having to read anything or watch any videos, right? I'm sure there'll be some tutorial, right? Yeah, same with you. When I was collecting them, elementary school, so man, you're hella old. Elementary school. I was just, get excited if I even get like a hologram of any Pokemon I really care, right? But it wasn't really until, I don't know, maybe like a year, two years that I really deep dive on how to play Pokemon. And that's, gosh, from like, say, early 90s, right? It came out in 96, I believe, as a card game or as a Game Boy, something like in that area. So now, what, 2022 is maybe when I really like super got into how to play it. So that's a huge difference, yeah.
When you played it, did you play for keeps? I remember playing for keeps.
No. I wasn't that trustworthy of myself.
It's like racing for pinks. It's
No.
Oh man.
Oh goodness. Couldn't.
Yeah, so I think this is gonna do really well. I think this might have a Pokemon Go level resurgence, especially since it's tied to the famous card game. If they put in some like classic Pikachus and stuff like that, people are gonna be happy just to see their old cards back.
Yeah, for sure.
And some of the visuals show that. And then, like, I always love when you see on, like, TikTok, people have, like, connected cards that like, all make an image. That's one of the features of this, too, is that some of the cards you, like, pull into and then see, like, this big 3D image inside of the card. That's just an extra thing.
Oh, that's kind of cool. Yeah.
All right. Next up, we have Squeaks here. We're going to be doing some reviews. Let's do some reviews now. We're going to go into Helldivers 2.
Yeah.
I want to know about the game, and then we'll discuss why this game is so popular right now and why it's so successful. Okay. So, tell me about Helldivers 2.
Okay, so Helldivers 2 is your, call him Space Marine, but a Helldiver, right? And what happens is that you are finding, I guess you could say, life on another planet, whatever. You're fighting for, like, Super Earth, right? There's aliens that could come down and destroy you. Basically, alien, ant, monster, starship, super galactic, whatever that movie's called. And this is what's great about the game, okay? It's a big multiplayer game. That feels like a story, but you hop right in like it's a multiplayer game. Okay. There's really not much anything to the story besides just liberating planets and ridding of all the bugs, I guess, whatever, bug monsters.
Or automatons, right? Like you have robots on the other side.
Oh, yeah. I'll tell a story about that one. Anyway.
Yeah.
But and that's the best way to describe it. And it's a super nice feeling at the same time, because it feels like you are playing this massive story, but you hop right in with just like stupid, dumb, quick fun. And that's what it is. So you're having moments, right? You've seen a lot of the TikToks or videos probably where it's just, my favorite is just hearing Kevin James doing the NASCAR startup. And then you just like launch it too. And it's just chaos and explosions. But anyway, so you land onto this area with your team, squad, whatever. You can even do it by yourself, and you have a set of missions, and you have one main objective, and you go you can do side objectives at the same time, gather experience and other currencies to upgrade your weapons, and your big ship. Every time you drop out of your big ship, it's kind of cosmetic looking, but also enhances some of your stratagems, is what they call. So what we've seen in videos is that these massive explosions, right, they're being called down once you input, like, a code or whatever, you throw this thing and then bam, airstrike, right? That is some of the most satisfying things ever, right? When you unlock something that's just I had this galactic ballistic brigade barrage or whatever that comes down. Yeah. I don't remember the title. So the most satisfying thing is throwing it at the right spot, and you see like your kill count go like 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. And it's like, oh, yes, freedom, you know. Yeah. But at first, I will say I did not like the game. OK, nothing was really pulling me in. I started off fighting the robots. I don't know the names yet, really. I don't remember really much of names, period. But I was fighting the robots and I was like, fuck this game. Okay. Screw this game. This is stupid. I can't do anything. I'm dying. This is like Elden Ring times two. This is ridiculous. Oh my gosh. And so it turns out I was like, oh, let's try to kill bugs. I'm like, oh, okay. This is a lot easier. Time to find out that, robots is a whole nother level. I wasn't ready for it. But nothing at that first time pulled me in until, shout out to Jobert, right? One of our buddies got the game. Didn't even know until later. And he was kind of showing me the ropes and I was really getting the hang of it. And then now I'm feeling so confident in the game to where I'm constantly calling things down without like hesitation, you can say, or worrying about using it. Because at first you're like, I just want to use my guns and save myself. No, as soon as that shit's off cooldown, throw that thing down and just start blowing things up.
Yeah.
You do have badass moments, man. Like just sometimes where you're extracting from a mission, your pelican's coming down in a minute, right? And you're like, okay, I'm going to set up my turret here. I'm laying down a big ass machine gun. Things are just blowing up. And you just feel like, man, I'm in a movie. And I think that's what makes it fun, because it's like getting into a quick Call of Duty match, right? And there's no like real a learning curve to it, you know, to me at least. Apparently there's a meta out there already. But
oh yeah, people are picky about it too.
Yeah, that's what I'm hearing, which is pretty wild. But man, it's just dumb fun. There was one thing I was playing earlier today that was Joe was in front of me. He was shooting down aliens. I had to turn on one side and I'm just sitting there reloading my big ass machine gun with just blood covered all over my character. I'm like, this is the fight, guys. I do more for Super Earth than I have done my whole life for this country. Okay. Which is
saying, I love that. You've done it a few times now. We talk about Super Earth or democracy.
Yeah.
I think one of the better things that I've enjoyed as a passerby or just somebody watching is the idea that like you're not playing as any particular character. You're constantly dying. Yeah. You're a new recruit every time with barely any training.
Yeah.
And it's just like, for democracy and smash your face against a bug.
Exactly.
How is that vibe in there?
Man, it's really but that's the crazy thing when it comes to like, okay, there's a story, but not really a story.
Right.
The vibe's there because I think the community is always bringing it, right? Because it's a joke, you got memes and stuff. But other than that, it's really not crazy there. Once you load up, you've done your one-time training. You load up to your ship and you just go at it. Like, pick a planet. Where do you want to liberate is what they're calling it. And do the missions. And that's it. And then, yeah, you'll get, like, little emotes and stuff. You're like, for democracy. Or it was funny because Joe had an emote where you play rock, paper, scissors. And you really do. Like, you go up to him and you click which one you like, rock, paper, scissors. And you see who wins or not. I'm like, what the shit? That's badass.
Things exploding around you.
Yeah, exactly. So there's a lot of times where we always have to do an emote before we get into the ship to extract, while like the ship is just shooting at everything and things are just blowing up and you hear the bugs crawling at you, but we're giving each other a hug before we get go away. So but yeah, that's what it is. There's no like crazy story to it. You literally just get on and go, and it's just a different vibe when it comes to multiplayer games, and I don't really know how to explain it.
Well, I think like you were saying, the way that like, oh yeah, Call of Duty, you can go in for a quick match. I think the key difference in that statement though is this is PvE, really. You're going in for a quick match, but you're not fighting against other people. If anything, you're fighting with them.
True, true. Yeah, true. So you can put like SOSs down if you're playing by yourself and people can join you if they're doing quick plays. Mm-hmm. Or you can do the missions by yourself as well. The rewards are less. They're quicker. But if you just want to like, you know, shoot the shit, got to do your own thing, then yeah, you're welcome to do that as well. So
how satisfying is the game for a solo player versus as a multiplayer?
Solo's fun to it's gonna sound corny, to be in your like own world, where you go at your own pace. It gets a little hectic sometimes for sure, but you kind of explore more and get the feels. But not as satisfying for the fact that when you're playing with more players, you get more rewards, more XP, and you're buying cosmetics with that, with those rewards, or upgrading your ship. So it's a huge difference too. But then obviously with more players, it gets a little bit more chaos, and then you're really like, because at the same time your buddies are using their stratagems, calling down airstrikes, missiles, or putting their stuff up, and it's like you don't get that much chaos when you're playing by yourself. You just get your tactics, your items.
Are you sharing in their kills too? That's why it's going up so much, your XP and your gains. Like, you share their kills too?
Yeah, so whatever, not sure if it's a shared kill thing, but just anything objective and currency that's picked up is shared. Okay. There are stats at the end after every mission that kind of compare with your buddies and stuff, who did well, what. It's just the more players, the more chaos, you know? And it's It's fun. A little frustrating at times. It's a lot of kiting. That's the best way I could say it.
Fair enough. Yeah.
Yeah. You're constantly running around. You're like, oh my gosh. But then you start to get to the point where like, okay, you know, I'm gonna throw an airstrike right there. I'm just going to keep running and the airstrike hits him behind me. Or there's been times where I throw a, okay, we're going to, you know, a cruise missile is going to land right here. Right. Mm-hmm. As soon as I throw that bitch down, I get hit by a bug and it slows me down and I get blown up with it.
Yeah. So, that's a lot of TikTok videos right there.
Yeah. So, but it's just, it's so fun to just get in there and just have just a, I don't know, I call it dumb fun, but it's a great, just go in there and just mindless. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mindless gaming.
So obviously with this game just blowing up, everybody's crazy for it. Mm-hmm. A lot of news is coming out for it. And one of the things we've learned recently is that there is a game master actually controlling everything. Mm-hmm. Have you heard about Joel, the game master?
I have not.
Okay. So I'm excited to share this with you then.
Okay, yeah.
There's somebody controlling everything else in the game outside of you. So when they decide, when Joel decides, oh, you know what? Humanity's taking over X planet a little bit too much or whatever. He'll drop a couple more bugs or a couple more robots. If he feels like, well, let's try something out, he'll give you a stratagem that you didn't have or didn't plan on having, including vehicles and mechs, which are like an upcoming mm-hmm. patch. But they're trying it out by just randomly giving it to people. Joel is trying it out.
Okay.
So the grand story is actually controlled by one game master. They're comparing it a lot to a DM in D&D. Okay. One of the big things is you guys recently lost Creek, something Creek, right? On the robot side of the map. People were like, oh man, that was Robot Vietnam. It's a big deal. And that was Joel that was like, okay, it's time to make a move. Matter of fact, they noted one point in the middle of the night, he had to wake up and add robots in there because he was like, oh shit, they're doing too good. Everybody was on like that. So he added more robots to a certain spot to kind of balance the fight out. What do you think now as a player learning that there's a GM running everything else too?
So it would just be like, how can we outsmart him is what it yeah. getting me. Like, how do you outsmart him to where we could consistently wake his ass up at 2 or 3 in the morning where he hates yeah. himself and be like, you know what? Screw it. Let him have that planet. And I say, yeah, fuck yeah for democracy, bro. Okay. Yeah. That's what I'm saying. But that's interesting though. I like the comparison to the Dungeon Master. Yeah, because we kind of are. Yeah. In his game.
I think it's a different and unique, I mean, compared to other live service games, for example, like mm-hmm. first off, there's not a lot of other live service games where it's not just straight up PvP, but the fact that, it's not generated by a pre-written script or by AI, just yeah. kind of guessing, where there's actually a little bit of like pushing and taking and some fun added in. I don't know. I think it's a new way of doing live service games that other games should learn from, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. It's so weird that they decided to take a turn with this Helldivers 2 compared to Helldivers 1. Helldivers 1 was a top down. Yeah. So
yeah,
I would love to learn what made them do that. Now, if it was something like, hey, we really love this world and we want to keep it going. We don't want it to, maybe it didn't have as much success with the first one. How do we switch it up to make it something? I would really love to figure out or to, you know, find out why and, you know, the success that they're having behind it now with that switch would, yeah, I would see how they're doing that. Yeah.
They showed this was coming out in a month or whatever, and I was familiar with Helldivers 1. I was like, I'm not interested. Helldivers 1 was just right? Okay. Then this thing's blowing up. I'm like, now I'm debating, like, should I have gotten it? Damn it, I feel like I'm behind now. They've done a really good job. It kind of reminds me of the change from Grand Theft Auto 2 to Grand Theft Auto 3. Which went to from top down to 3D, and all of a sudden it's like that's what blew the system up.
Yeah. I wasn't into multiple TikToks that I was like, all right, let me give this one a try.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. If I do get it though, I'm much more of a solo player, I think. So I don't mind grinding it when I want to grind it, but yeah, right now I'm playing through Pokemon, but maybe that'll be next. Maybe I
can you won't be solo because I'm gonna jump in on your games. So
there we go. What other things can other video game developers learn from the success of Helldivers 2, like a Fortnite or maybe see these other live service games?
Yeah. So I think I'm going to compare it to Suicide Squad. A lot of people are talking shit about Suicide Squad. I actually love the shit out of that game. I'm 30 hours in. I've maxed out almost my third character now out of the four and really getting myself prepped up for the Joker campaign coming out. Well, yeah, because they're going to add story. The way that the big story finishes, yeah, it's pretty easy to continue a story with this. But they're going to add some story, add a character, some more challenges, stuff like that, whatever. But the thing is, that's a big story driven, right? And I think the difference is that this Helldivers doesn't really have much of a story, and that's where I was getting at, where you could turn on Helldivers and just click and go, where you could do that now in Suicide Squad, but that's after you beat the campaign. And you don't have to beat the campaign, then it's like, what's the point if you're not playing it a little bit of that with some side stuff? Yeah. So maybe that's it. A lot of it's too is that it's not solely depending on your money, even though it's a live service action. They're not asking for your actual current your actual dollar bills. Same with Suicide Squad. You don't really need to, but they have other cosmetics in the store that you can't earn in the game, but you can buy. Well, Helldivers did this pretty sweet thing where the money that you can buy, you can actually earn. And it's not that difficult to earn. It's not something where you need 10 of this type of currency and you're getting one every like hour, you know, not like that at all. They have it set up. Basically, you can earn more harder difficulties, whatever. So it feels like that option's available, but we're not really needing you to. You don't really need to, unless you just, I don't know, maybe want it quicker. So that's neat. So you don't feel like Suicide Squad where you're missing out on something where like, hey, I can't earn this at all. It's not an option. I have to spend real money. But in Helldivers, you have the ability to earn it, and you don't need to spend real money. So
have you found yourself spending real money in the game?
No, not at all. Wow. I don't even at the moment. There's nothing even in the store that I'm having a hard time earning that requires me to spend money.
Yeah. Okay. So it's just for the tryhards or whatever. Yeah. So that's good. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, guys, I think I'm gonna have to give it a try at some point. We'll see how soon. But yeah, I thought, you know, it's flesh of the pan, it'll be done soon, but I think I'm being proven wrong. And yeah, it's been doing good. I remember waking up and like my TikTok feed's so full of it that when whatever creek, I forget the name of the planet, but when it was lost, people were like, guys, it happened. You know, it was like so mournful.
This is the first time ever where I've seen a type of community would do memes where it was actually calling on Xbox. So at first I didn't know this was Xbox. A PlayStation PC exclusive. It was going to be on Xbox. So I've seen a lot of the memes of like, I think it was like Helm's Deep where Aragorn is talking to the king. And that was like PlayStation PC, like, oh, we're down, we need help. And then you got Gandalf coming over the hill, and that's like your Xbox logo, right?
Yeah.
I've seen a lot of those, and I'm like, wow, that's the first time ever that people aren't talking shit on each other.
They want to because of the console community wars
that they wanted. Yeah, United said they could do the liberations on these planets. So
that is such a
Something.
Man, all of a sudden, I'm like, wait a minute, I like that idea, that community.
And there's no reason for this game. I know with the whole like Xbox press that was kind of out not too long ago and how they wanted to share some games, Sea of Thieves, whatever, Hi-Fi Rush, whatever. For like certain games, man, like this, it's not required to be exclusive. Like, come on. No, share the love. Share the love. If it was something like God of War or whatever, then I understand that's a baby to you guys. But something like this, man, come on. Have the developers get their money.
It's available on PC right away. To me, I mean, if it's available on PC, then it could be on Xbox and at any time. Yeah. I wouldn't be surprised if it is over there soon.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be surprised if it's part of Game Pass. That's how you get those numbers. That's how you get that army coming over the hill to help out.
That's true. That's true.
All right, guys. Helldivers 2. What would you grade it? Let's go grade or out of 10, whatever you want
to do. Yeah, we'll do out of 10. Let's do I'm probably giving it a little bit higher than I wanted to, but I'm going to do 8 out of 10.
8 out of 10.
Yeah.
All right. That sounds good. All right. Now, let's move over to Dune 2. I watched Dune 2, and it's changed my life.
Oh, God. I knew something was coming after that voice change.
I will say that I'll give you my grade right now. It's 10 out of 10. And
oh, shit.
No joke. I don't give perfect grades often. I always like to try to, you know, make sure but I really walked away. It's been a long time since I walked away from a theater and being like, yo, boo, save my seat. I'll be right back. And I'm going back this week again to see it again. And I mean, when's the last time you wanted to watch a movie twice in theaters?
Like, oh, man. Just not a thing. Yeah. Yeah. It's true.
Visually, I mean, just groundbreaking. It has that same impact on me that Lord of the Rings did when I watched it when I was younger. I was like, oh my God, these shots are, I mean, it just like blew you away. It's that. The battles are so freaking epic. And it's been a while since the movies actually felt that epic. I mean, even in Endgame, like only the last battle of Endgame felt epic. This whole movie is that. And the feelings post-movie, the debates over religion and politics and everything like me and Thomas, since watching this movie and doing a review on Challenge Accepted and everything like that, which go check that out, guys. It's a full, guys, full hour review for this movie. But we are texting back and forth still today, debating the religion aspect of this movie because it has an interesting message and stuff. It is so phenomenal. I told you before we started, it's the two towers in the Lord of the Rings trilogy. It's The Empire Strikes Back in the Star Wars trilogy. And I would argue that those are both my favorites of those trilogies.
Yeah.
That's what Dune 2 is. It's that good.
Damn. I don't know whether to cry or just get these goosebumps.
Just get your Fandango account fired up. That's what you need to do.
That's true. Yeah. So there was basically a 10 out of 10. There's nothing missing. Okay. So what would you think about the first one, though? And
the
what
first
do you think
was
of the
excellent. I would
of?
Say, like, if I were to grade the first one, I would say 7.5, 8 out of 10 because it's okay. So much exposition.
Got it.
As you're familiar, you've read the books too, right? So you know that it has so much setting up to do. It's building in this huge world with a lot of complicated systems and a lot of complicated politics and religion. The exposition's done. Part two, there is very little to no exposition at all. You know who the Bene Gesserits are. You know Muad'Dib. You know all that stuff, and you're going right in.
Okay.
And it picks up with, like, immediately after, too. Like, they're bringing, what's his name, Jesse or whatever. They're bringing the dead guy that they killed at the end of number one. They're bringing his body still at number two. So, like, right after.
Okay. Are these seeing, okay, so I want to know kind of, like, visually, right? So, it left off, number one ended with, like, they saw a rider riding the sandworm? Right?
Yes, yeah. They were riding the worm, yeah.
So, how visually is that? Because that is something to kind of, like, on a huge scale where it could kind of flop if it was.
Yeah.
Not the best.
What's nice is the scale is really a big and important thing. Like during battles, scales is really important. Like the sandworms feel big, the ships feel big, people feel small. And in those scenes where they're riding the worms, there are different size worms and they all feel very big. Yeah. And I'm not gonna spoil anything for anybody who's watched, but you've already read. You know, Paul rides a sandworm and he's very good at it. And it really feels like a testament when he does. And they do such a close-up of him actually mounting the worm that you're like much more about like trying to survive this hostile environment more so than actually like mounting something. Mm. But then, of course, the grand scale, when you pull that back, you're like, oh, he's zipping past in the desert now. He's on it. So they did a good job with it. I think during the battle, when worms come up again, that's when you're like, oh, shit, that's right. These are gigantic.
Yeah. Okay. So you're saying, what's the longest that we've had with the amount of dead time? Because you're saying basically that's gone because from the first one. So is there back-to-back
Picks up immediately,
craziness
or
something? What's going on? Like, it's right like there's no pauses. So
there really isn't because they're trying to get back to the rest of the Fremen and Harkonnens are arriving on the planet after the Atreides have been betrayed and slaughtered. And so the Harkonnens are looking for surviving Atreides at this point. Like that's where we're at. We're right off of the first one. And if you've read the books, you know that there's like a 2-3 year time jump, enough for kids to be born time jump. That's not the case in this movie. There's a couple months time jump, but no kids born stuff. So just if you're expecting for kids to be around, if you read the books, those kids aren't there, but they're very much still play a part, like especially one of them.
Okay. Damn, man, it's crazy to build off the, well, it's not crazy to build the first one because there's a lot of storytelling, right? In the first one to get the frame up for the house. But what I meant was like dead time, like you don't feel like there's no stalling in this movie because this is a 3-hour movie.
Yeah. The right? slow part to this movie, because of course there has to be, I will say, by the way, 3-hour movie. I was like, oh shit, it's already been 3 hours. That is a pretty good feeling. I'm not going to lie. That's been a bit. But the slow parts of this movie, they do exist, but they're filled with a love story between Paul and Chani, which that's Zendaya. I ain't looking away from. They're also filled with learning about Fade Rotha, the bad guy who's played by Elvis in this movie.
And then
learning more about the religion and how important it is in the story and stuff like that. It's a thinker, though, guys. When you leave this movie, for a lot of people are conflicted. Thomas, for example, is very conflicted. And we were talking about that. And I was like, that's part of the reason I like this the most. I've seen enough Marvel movies where I walk away. I'm like, yeah, Ant-Man beat Kang. Okay, gotcha. This one, damn, was that the right move? Oh, man, what do you think they're trying to say with this? Like, that's not good. And it's that's what it felt like when you left Empire Strikes back in 78 or 9 or whatever it was. That's what it feels like after Two Towers. You're like, man, Helm's Deep was crazy, but that's not even the real battle, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
So it's that the feeling that you walk away with this movie.
Okay. So reading some of these books, Florence Pugh. Pugh, am I saying her name right? How much is she in it? Because I know she's going to be a huge part. I don't want to spoil that.
Messiah. So there's a third movie coming out. Denis, the director, announced that. She will be a bigger character in that.
Yeah.
She's very much kind of playing her character, really, from the first one, where she's almost giving a narrative aspect of it. She's talking to her father a lot, who's the emperor. But she's just Princess Erelon with opinions. And yeah, you can tell she's going to be a bigger part in the third one.
Yeah.
Same with if you guys are looking at the casting and you're like, where's Anna Taylor-Joy come in? She's barely in this movie. She'll be a much bigger character in the next one.
Okay, because Florence Pugh, I don't want to say because I don't want to spoil it. We'll just talk off.
She's Princess Erelon, and yes, she will do what she does in the end of that book, the first book. So the second book,
she is okay. Because I was expecting to see her in the second one. So when I saw her, when I saw Florence and it was casted as that character, I was like, oh shit, I wasn't expecting that until the next movie, which that's where that second book's supposed to take off. So
But at the end of the first one, there's a discussion between Paul and the Emperor, which the daughter has to be there for that comment. So they're kind of setting it up to where that means more.
Got it.
And is this Chani, speaking of that decision, Chani and Lady Jessica, who I think are relegated a lot in the books, it's mostly about Paul. Their characters are elevated a lot more in the movie and given much more prominent roles, which makes Paul's decision at the end and the fact that the religion is kind of controlling the Fremen a lot more impactful because of Lady Jessica and Chani.
Okay. Yeah. Standout actors. Well, you got Jason Momoa's back, right? From the dead?
No.
Not really a spoiler, right? He's not?
He's not back from the dead. I thought he was going to be, but I guess that's going to be a third thing. Yeah.
What? They put him on the cover of this poster, didn't he?
No, Gurney's back. Gurney's back. So Thanos is back. Josh Brolin is back.
Yeah.
But he didn't die.
I could have sworn I thought Jason Momoa was on that poster.
Confused by that too. And then even when I was reviewing it later, I'm like, I could have sworn Duncan Idaho makes a return. It's not this one.
That's that Mandela effect. Boiler I was like, no.
I thought so too, bro.
Okay.
That's the whole cloning thing that comes in the next thing.
Yeah. How was Batista's in this, right?
Batista? Oh, man. It's a trip because he feels like a bitch in this movie.
Oh.
And I know.
Okay.
Dude, I love David. I've realized now that like some of my favorite actors are just wrestlers. I just need to just accept that. They're Rock, sure. But also Dave Batista, John Cena. I'll watch anything with John Cena.
Oh, my God. He cracks me up on these funny ones. Yeah. Okay.
So, Batista did, in the first movie, he felt like a relentless beast. In this one, he feels like he's getting bitched out by Elvis. Dade Rotha feels like a badass. And when you first see the like first trailer for him, that particular scene they filmed in infrared, so it's all black and white, and it's really weird feeling. He is not that stark black and white when you see him regularly, but he does actually feel like a threat. And that's interesting. I didn't expect that out of him. He actually does feels like a threat to even the Baron. So that's cool.
Okay. Okay. Standout performances. Who was maybe something that was someone that was unexpectedly to you did well?
Chani really feels like she fell in love with Paul and feels betrayed when she's supposed to feel betrayed. I was surprised by Paul. Timothée Chalamet in the first movie I thought wasn't quite nailing the Atreides thing, the Paul Atreides vibe. But in the second one, I think he's nailing it more because there's very much that reluctancy to follow the prophecy. I think he does a good job of foretelling you that a lot. Like, don't make me go south. Don't make me go drink the da 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 da.
Yeah.
And I think that's carrying through on Paul. I mean, honestly, every performance is done really well. There's a ton of memes out there right now because Tilgar, the leader of the Fremen, is very much like, Paul's our Jesus. He's our Messiah. And it's like, it's written. Everything Paul does, I mean, like, trips on a rock, like, just like in the Bible. You know, it's a lot of that kind of stuff. And so there's so many memes where it's like, Paul figures out how to write boobies on a calculator. Moadib. So much stuff like that. That actually Javier Bardem is quite funny in the movie. He's also a freaking badass.
Anyone that was a letdown or everyone was pretty much par and or better?
I everybody was really good. Even Rebecca Ferguson, who played Lady Jessica, which is a character I don't necessarily care for in the books, which I don't think you're supposed to care for in the books, actually, and I'm saying that out loud. She played a hell of a good manipulator in this. Like, she was convincing.
Okay. Good. All right. 10 out of 10. Damn, man. Is this movie of the year already?
It is right now my movie of the year, for sure.
Yeah.
I can't think of, I mean, like, Maybe Everything Everywhere All at Once was shockingly good enough for me right now to be like movie that was that good. But like even Oppenheimer, I was like, I expected that out of Oppenheimer. I was not that, like, it didn't blow me away as much as this did. Barbie was good, but it's not like this. It's hard to kind of convey a movie that hit me this hard.
Damn, man. So this might be where you're reigning. I don't think, but the way you're talking about it, I don't think there's another movie in the future that's going to be better than that for this year, at least.
I will say it's one of those movies that it requires theater watching, requires you go into like XD viewing that it has the better audio, because me and Jonathan went and watched it in XD. We actually waited a little bit later to watch it in XD, and our seats were shaking whenever there's an explosion going on, and there's a lot of those.
Yeah.
It was very much like, oh my God. And I was even like, dude, I'm so happy we did this. Mm-hmm. We waited for XD because you could feel it in the room. The battles are as grand, and I hate to use the word epic so much, but remember how epic was used a lot back in the day when Lord of the Rings was coming out? Mm-hmm. It was like, oh, it's getting overused. It's back, baby. This was as epic as I could imagine a movie being. I hate to be so fawning over it. I have not seen a person talk shit about this movie yet, and I'm not one of them.
Damn, that's crazy. That's crazy. I was not expecting it to be that. You've fallen in love with it that much. Damn.
Yeah, I'm going again probably tomorrow, actually. Tomorrow morning is matinee day, so I'll probably watch it again. It's like $6 to go to the theaters on a Tuesday morning, so I'm like, I'll go watch it again.
Nice. Awesome. Well, I'm glad you had that experience. Eventually, I will.
Let me know when you go, because I want to hear what your thoughts are on it. And I know that me talking it up is going to make it a little worse for you, but I still think it's worth it.
Those expectations are extremely high now. So,
well, that's how it is, right? It's always. I remember like when Spider-Man Across Spider-Verse 2 came out, and I'm like, damn, I did not care for that. And everybody else loves this movie. And I was like, it doesn't help that I went in thinking everybody else loved it. So.
Yeah, really, same. Yeah, awesome.
All right, we're going to end things off with our March watch list. Is there anything particular in March that you're looking forward to before we get started?
Oh, gosh. I don't even know what's coming out, to be honest.
All right, well, good, because I'm going to give you a bunch of stuff to watch. Here we go. The HBO Max has a new series called The Regime. It's starring Kate Winslet, and it's done by the people who did Succession. So if you like Succession, it's likely you'll like this as well. Also, if you haven't watched Wonka in theaters and you're like, man, I need more of that Timothée Chalamet in my life, March 8th on HBO Max.
Ooh, I saved about $22. I almost bought that thing. I really want to see Wonka. And then I got the email from Max saying it's going to come next week this week, whatever. I was like, fuck yes, man, saved money.
I was surprised. I'm not a musical fan generally. I was surprised by how much I liked it. It's not a great movie, but it's a good watchable flick. For sure. It's better than that Glasgow Willy Wonka thing. Have you seen the memes on that?
Oh, dude,
I got to. I'll share some of it with you.
Okay.
But over in Glasgow, somebody did like an AI art thing saying like, oh, we're making a Willy Wonka experience, a little theme park for you guys to go to. And they went into, and it was like taped up birthday decorations, the saddest shit you could think of, dude. I'll have to show you. It's so funny how bad it got.
Okay.
Over on Amazon Prime, if you guys haven't seen it already, Five Nights at Freddy's is hitting there, the movie. On March 5th. Now, this is a new one. Okay, so again, like I said, I'll watch anything with John Cena at this point. Ricky Stenicki is a new comedy coming out on March 7th.
With Zac Efron, right?
Yeah.
Oh, fuck yes. I'm going to watch that. Okay, so anything comedy with John Cena, it's a must. Like, it's going to happen. He plays that dumb buff role so freaking good. But Zac Efron's daddy, too. So, like, you just get them both together in one room. Yeah. But that looks hilarious. Actually, the wife had to show me. I was like, no, I never heard of this. How do you spell this? How do you look this thing up? That looks hilarious. Yeah.
Dude, they're not advertising it at all. But the quick idea is that three friends kind of blame everything on one fourth friend that doesn't exist. Yeah. They need to prove that friend exists. So they hire John Cena, who is an impersonator and a stripper and everything else that's wrong.
Yeah.
And it's just like, and then he like is too charming for them. It is so funny. It looks so good. Invincible Season 2 Part 2 is coming out on the 14th, again over on Prime. You can follow up on that. Still 100% over on Rotten Tomatoes, guys. If you haven't watched Invincible yet, I hope that convinces you.
Yeah.
It's good enough. And then the remake of Roadhouse with Jake Gyllenhaal is coming out on March 21st. He's going to be playing an ex-UFC fighter. It sounds like there's going to be a more UFC influence in this in general. Mm-hmm. I think McGregor's in it as well.
Yeah, he's been really hanging around the UFC. He's been seen doing his video weigh-ins before a weigh-in, actual weigh-in, and him talking to shit. Yeah, there's videos out there right now where he's out there on stage with the scale doing his acting and then talking shit. So that's kind of cool because you're actually getting the actual,
with the filming of it.
Yeah. Nothing phony there.
It looks like it's going to be just a solid action flick to watch, though. I mean, the first Roadhouse was so good. Yeah.
Yeah.
Over on Hulu, Extraordinary Season 2 is coming out. We had a chance to interview one of the actors on this last year, and it's a really fun show. I'm revisiting it right now, as a matter of fact. It's a British comedy where everybody at 18 gets a superpower, except for our main character who never got a superpower. And it's like Broad City or one of those kind of comedies, but everybody has superpowers. And it's
Encanto.
Kind of like Encanto, but, you know, a lot more dick jokes. It's really funny.
Oh, that's perfect.
There we go. That's on March 6th, guys. It's really good. And then lastly, we have two more on Netflix. We have Spaceman. It's a brand new movie starring Adam Sandler. Came out on the 1st. It's based off of a very famous book. But the idea is Adam Sandler is an astronaut going past Mars, and his wife hates his guts because he's basically gone and all kinds of different things, and they're just separating. And he runs across an alien spider with telepathy that like helps him deal with his relationship, and it's also like a space story. So what we're hearing from this already is like it's Adam Sandler possibly best acting performance. Yeah, we'll have to see. Uncut Gems was so good for him, so I'm willing to give it a shot.
Yeah, Uncut Gems was kind of trash.
What? Did you watch to the end?
All they did was yell at each other the whole time. Like, it was so fucking annoying with it. Everybody's just yelling at each other. That's all it is.
I can see that.
That's all it is. That's fair.
I'm going to watch it. I'll tell you how good it is. All right. And then lastly, on March 21st, we have Three Body Problem. This is a new series by the guys that did Game of Thrones. And Netflix is very much putting a lot of money on this. So expect this to be their attempt at a new staple series, which they need, because like Stranger Things is about to end, a lot of stuff's about to end, so they need this.
Yeah.
All right. Any recommendations before we head out for the day?
Helldivers 2, right? I just talked about that. And I'm gonna throw an old one at you, kind of old, not a little. I am having a blast playing One Piece Odyssey. Yeah.
Really? Wow.
Yeah, I just started that thing. I bought it a while ago, right? On a sale, and I was like, okay, it's time for me to play it. Done my time with some other games, I'm going to start it up. And I'm actually having so much more of a better time than I thought I was going to have with this game. It's a turn-based fighting game, old school Final Fantasy, but the graphics, the characters, artwork on it is just so good. And it's original story. It's nothing that's tied to the series itself. It tells you that multiple times at the beginning. So yeah, for like the One Piece fans out there that have not tried this yet, and wanting to see something new, go for it. It's a blast.
One Piece Odyssey, is that it?
Yeah. I'm having a good time with it, actually. Way more than I thought. I already got 3 hours in, and I just started it today. So,
I've watched a couple episodes of the anime of that, so I'm in the know now, guys.
Yeah, you are.
0.0001% complete with the series. Holy cow. So fucking much. All right, guys. Man. Thank you very much for joining us, and we'll see you next week. Bye.